I wanted to look and feel my best at my wedding. What bride doesn't? So 3 months before the big day, I stripped naked, stepped in front of a mirror, and took stock of my goals. I had work to do, no doubt about it. My hips have always been my biggest problem area. I definitely needed to do something about them. Same with my stomach. And of course, my neck tattoo, which says property of chainsaw. I traced my fingers over the faded script, sighing in disgust. I don't care how good of a kisser your ninth grade boyfriend is, never get a tattoo of his name outside the bikini area. These problem areas weren't going to magically fix themselves, so I decided to join a gym and booked a session with a personal trainer named Diego. After we'd introduced ourselves, Diego asked me about my fitness goals. I told him that my wedding was in 3 months, and I wanted toned arms, a flat stomach, and sculpted legs. He told me he'd like a 9-inch cock that prints money. I thought that was harsh, but I had to respect his tough love approach, and I realized it might be just the ticket. Diego walked me over to the machines and instructed me to jog on a treadmill while he tracked my time playing Grand Theft Auto 4 on his phone. I logged 30 minutes, and then we set up a schedule where we'd meet twice a week. He also suggested I clean up my diet by drinking more water and prioritizing lean protein. I recognized that I had a long road ahead, but I left the gym feeling pretty good about my plan. As I was walking down the street towards 7-Eleven, mentally listing the reasons why a Monterey Jack taquito and Sour Patch Kids counted as lean protein, an unfamiliar voice called out to me. I turned and saw a fit 40-something woman with spiky hair leaning against a brick wall.
Hey, are you serious about getting that bridal body?
Hell yes, I was, but how did this lady know my deal? She answered me before I could even ask.
I saw you talking with Diego, she said, eyeing me up and down. They give him cases like yours.
Hip-centric?
5-alarm shit fires.
I nodded. She was plain-spoken like Diego, but I liked her candor. I gestured to my body. What should I do? She took out a scrap of paper and scribbled something on it.
Meet me at the docks at 1 a.m. and bring this in cash.
I looked down at the paper. This is a receipt from Pick a Bagel.
On the back.
The mysterious stranger had written down a huge sum of money. Enough money to straight up buy a new life. And almost as much as what I'd been quoted to have a scientist graft my face onto a really hot person's body. I pocketed the paper and told the spiky-haired lady I'd have to think it over. And that night, as my fiancé, Matt, slept peacefully beside me, I did. I thought back to our first date in Central Park. It was a sunny afternoon in early autumn, and we lost track of time walking around the reservoir, talking and laughing. As I cast my mind back to that golden day, I reached out and touched his hair, overcome with love for him. I just completely lucked out with Matt. He was sweet and funny, and what's more, he made me feel sexy as hell. But our chemistry went so much further than our physical connection. We electrified and nourished each other on a deep soul level. I'm not a religious person, but in Matt I had found a kind of cosmic completion, a reason to exist. A reason for anything to exist. So at the end of the day, I had to admit that he deserved a bridal body that was hot as freaking hell. I slipped out of bed, made a few calls, emptied our savings account, and kissed Matt goodbye as he slept. When I got to the docks, the spiky-haired woman seemed startled to see me.
I wasn't sure you had it in you, she said.
You're damn right it's in me, I said, tossing over the bag of money with a swagger.
Spiky hair checked to make sure it was all there, then rose and knocked me out with a single quick punch. When I came to, I was blindfolded in the back of a truck, my head throbbing and my hands tied behind my back. I could hear low, guttural voices, but I didn't recognize their language. My mouth felt like it hadn't touched water for days. Finally, the truck came to a stop, and my captors dragged me out. Spiky hair ripped the blindfold from around my eyes. The light was blinding, and all I could smell was mud.
March, she commanded, and I did.
Later, when my eyes adjusted,
I saw that we were trekking through a barren gorge. 2 grueling hours later, we reached the opening of a cave. By this point, I had had just about enough. I was starving, sunburned, and wheezing from the repeated blows meted out by Spikey. To be honest with you, I was also waffling over whether I'd made the right decision. I realized that I needed a snack and a breather, just to kind of check in with myself and see where I was at. So I stopped and asked Spikey if she had a healthful treat, such as a Cliff Bar and the carrot cake flavor. She turned back and looked at me like I was nuts. "I know," I said. "It's no white chocolate macadamia nut, but you have to save those bullets for when you really need them, right?" Spikey grabbed me by the front of my fleece and flung me down into the mouth of the cave. My head bounced off the hard-packed dirt floor. As I lay there, spitting up dirt and a shard of bloody tooth, she kicked me in the ribs. Hard. It was at that moment that I mentally disinvited her from my bridal shower. Staggering into the cave, I squinted my eyes and struggled to make out the dark shapes that loomed before me. Slowly, my vision began to focus. There were about 40 women training in a cement studio. Rock-hard abs, chiseled triceps, and hollowed-out clavicles for miles. A bare fluorescent light bulb hung from the dripping ceiling. Spikey strode past me and blew a whistle. The women froze.